It's time for the Boyd Speedway Podcast, the fastest podcast in North Georgia, where we feature drivers, crew chiefs, racing food, behind-the-scenes footage, and much more. Stay plugged into Boyd each week with the Boyd Speedway Podcast, brought to you by Scenic City Motorsports. Get on, and it's green, green, green. Time to go racing in the Boyd Speedway Podcast.
And welcome to another week of the Boyd Speedway Podcast. We are live in studio tonight with a different type show than what you're normally used to watching. We're going to be talking some motocross tonight, as well as some dirt track racing. And this weekend, both of those worlds collide at Boyd Speedway, and it's going to be an interesting weekend. And we've got some special guests that's all about doing both of those, which is kind of cool. That's what makes it a little different. But we'll be getting into our guests and as well as our wrap-up this weekend at what happened last week at Boyd's. And I just caught you off guard again, didn't I?
No, you didn't catch me off guard.
Are you ready?
For what?
The recap.
Yeah.
The finishing. You ready?
Uh-huh.
You have it all.
Uh-huh.
That's it. I caught you off guard.
I just turned off my phone. You said I had to turn it off.
It was messing with you, Britt.
I got everything
did we get
ready.
You?
I've got it live. I shared it onto the Boyd's podcast and then shut it off. This is off.
See, we always pull little pranks here and there.
Yeah.
But as you can tell, tonight we're doing a top 10 list tonight of why Double D's not in the house.
So how about this? His birthday is today and he's not even here.
You gave away the top 10.
No, I didn't.
Nobody knows that.
Everybody knows it. What that you've shared it to our
okay, that ruined the top
there.
10.
Yeah, everybody's been on there today.
That ruined the top 10 reasons why he's not here.
No.
Did you not get the top 10 reasons?
I guess not.
I got the top 10. I'm pretty sure you commented on it.
I didn't. I think,
no, he didn't. Well, he was napping.
No. He put in a comment before I said the napping comment.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
100% pull that up right now.
My.
No, don't not you. Not right the one next who's. Not the one who's lying. Somebody else pull it up. And yeah. He said something in there.
Yeah, he did say something in there.
Nothing.
He said number four.
Yeah. Nothing. Go back and look at it.
He was probably asleep.
I did.
Or drooling.
Nothing.
One
look.
Of the two.
Look.
Was he drooling?
Nothing.
Oh, I forgot.
Over somebody?
I forgot he can't read. My bad.
Look, mine are green. See the green?
Oh, he can read short words.
Nothing.
He can't read long words.
Here's
a no. Yeah. So we can still do the top 10.
We'll go over the top 10.
We will, but I mean, what kind of bonehead stands us up?
That would be Double D.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
He don't have
Friday.
Nothing going
How
on.
How many other Fridays do you have free but this Friday?
Yeah.
None.
Yeah. Well, we do have a few. We'll be going over that tonight. I was surprised. I looked at the sheet and I said, what? I got a Friday off? That's cool. So, interesting. But our guest tonight is Scott and Landon Gentry. Now, we're going to be talking a little bit. How do you, Britt, do you want to, you can log on to your phone if you want to and pull up the recap, or if y'all want to recap what happened Friday and
we,
all the mayhem.
Did you see that? She leaned into the microphone that's attached to her shirt.
Exactly.
I leaned
exactly.
into the camera. You guys are losers.
She leaned into the microphone.
Yeah, the camera don't pick it. That don't how that works.
Yes, it does. As you get closer.
We'll let you have that theory.
Thank you, Landon. Someone who just pats me on the back doesn't agree or disagree. Just says, "Oh, okay."
Well, you know, when you reach that family status, that's how that works. You get no passes.
Oh yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
You
I'm
get
good
no
with
passes.
That.
So you've made it to that level with us. So I will let you.
Okay.
Since you did an interview with Landon.
A
couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it had great results from it. I will let you introduce the guests and tell us a little bit about that part of it.
Well, before we kind of dive in a little bit more, I noticed that you have the same car number as you did when you raced motocross. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why that number?
So I was originally number 45, and then somebody always had the same number that I had, so we were always having to slash our number or put a X beside it or something like that. So I decided to put a 9 in front of it. It was 945 for years. Yeah. And then when I decided to do the AMA Outdoor Nationals, I acquired my Pro-Am points, and they select your number for you. They give you like 3 choices, and you can pick, you know, what number you want. And I picked 3. I picked 945. I picked my brother's old number. and I don't even remember the other one I picked, but they were all taken. So finally, I just emailed the lady back and said, hey, just give me a number, whatever you have, I'll take it. And she emailed me back with 629, and ever since then, that's just what we've, that I earned that number, and that was what we kept when we moved over.
So how old were you when you earned that number?
So that would have been in 18, 17?
17.
Yeah, into 17, so I would have been 19, 20.
Okay. So you've been racing since you were 4, is that right?
Yep.
And so you're at like 19 years worth of racing now?
Yeah, so started the motocross when I was 4, and then raced up until, I guess, 18 was the last year that I raced motocross, and then we got out of that. Didn't do much for a couple months, and we seen some cars, and was like, hey, you want to go race cars? So that's kind of what we did.
He was bored for those months.
Yeah. We're gonna talk that whole transition, too, because that to me, that's interesting, how you go from, with motorsports, do you still ride, or will you still compete, or are you strictly going to stay with the cars now?
Like, I still have all my gear. I still have helmets and boots and gear, and I don't have a bike. And I keep thinking that at some point I'm going to get the itch to want to ride or go race or, you know. But so far, I've been so busy with the cars and that whole deal that I just don't really have time to even think about doing that. I mean, maybe at some point down the road, maybe get a bike and just ride for fun. But at the moment, no.
Now tell us the difference that you faced between the transition from racing motorcycles to getting into a dirt track car. Like, so where did you get the idea to go dirt track?
So my cousins, David Tindall, they raced for years, you know, when I was younger, and we would go to the track with them sometimes when we weren't racing. And I always watched it on TV. I started getting really paying attention to it probably 14, 2015, like right when Davenport was really, like, pretty much destroying every race he went to. And kind of followed it from then. And then we were at a job one day, and Dad said something about, hey, what about racing a car? I was like, well, what you got in mind? He said, well, what about a dirt car? I was like, sure, I mean, any kind of racing sounds fun to me. So I was more than game to give it a shot.
Hi, Dad. Where did the idea come from?
Well, I knew he had a passion for racing, and he was in this weird spot, you know, from not riding the motorcycles. Yeah. So we had talked about, you know, cars a little bit, and then I just get on dirt late models and start scrolling, looking for we were looking for a roller, something we, you know, could put a motor in. And so we just start making some calls, and, you know, next thing I know, we were driving to Arkansas to pick a car up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which we should have took somebody with us, not knowing much about it, because we got burnt pretty good. Yeah. I mean, it was, we get the car home, realize it won't fit in the area where we worked on the motorcycles, and here we are with this car on the driveway, and our neighbors up there are like, hey, y'all bring that car on down to one of our shops, which has been a blessing for us, you know, being able to work on the car there. And just went from there, putting together this old O2 GRT with the motor we built, and it's been pretty fun.
Now, what class are y'all going to be racing in?
So we run 604 crate.
Okay.
Yeah. We started out, we ran.
So you ain't messing around. You went straight into.
Well, yeah, we built this little motor for sportsmen, which we tried to stay within those rules, what we were seeing. And we built this little motor, and everybody switches to the red clay 602 rules. So,
and then we didn't have a class to race at that point, you know. So we just was like, well, we want to go racing. This is what we got to go racing with. So we started running steelhead or limited or super, what, you know, whatever class we fit into. That's what we raced.
Now, do you have an itch for any other classes?
I mean, yeah, I think that everybody that races late models wants to race super at some point. I mean, it's kind of the ad, you know, more horsepower, more fun, you know. But I think with our budget and kind of how much it costs to really run a good super late model deal, that maybe down the road, but right now I think crate is our best option.
Now, tell me about the are you like an adrenaline junkie? I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing from going from motocross all those years So now you want to go late models, and then you're thinking even super late models. It's got to be an adrenaline rush.
Oh, 100%. If it's got a motor and I can race it, I'm all about it.
Now, that goes to another part of the question that I'm going to ask. How many broken bones?
Oh, I mean, that's a whole list. I think it was 25 when we quit.
Yeah. I want to get into that here. In just a minute. But, Britt, at some point, you can pull that up if you want to recap what happened Friday at Boyd's. Race results and all that stuff, because we're going to talk motocross, and then we're going to talk Boyd's. How you want to, any certain way you want to go with, because I can sit here and ask you 1,000 questions all night.
Oh, I'm game. I'm game.
But at the same time, I want to, what do you got?
Do you want me to do it in closing so I can just pull up my sponsors all at the same time?
We can. That way, if you fry the microphone, it's at night and closing, right?
Exactly. You're good thinking.
Thinking ahead.
So smart.
And by the way, you had some interesting treats you brought in for Double D, who's not going to get to enjoy them.
Yes. I went to Nothing Bundt Cakes and got an assortment of them, which we tasted. We've got the lemon, chocolate, red velvet, and raspberry white chocolate. And we licked and sneezed on all of them.
You're welcome.
I didn't eat one.
Yeah. Don't worry, I saved you one, not sneezed on.
It's just one we didn't like.
It's,
red velvet.
You got anything you want to throw in before I hit it? Because I got a rampage of questions.
I'm game.
I had something a while ago and I forgot.
I got a question real quick. You said you had a sibling. Only one sibling? How many kids?
Two. We have an older son, which... Okay. Started the motocross with him, mm-hmm. and then first time to the track with him. Talking about injuries, we go to when Tunnel Hill Motocross was still open. We go to the track in a little 85cc YZ85, and Chad goes out on the track and separates his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I'm like, man, you know, do we need to be riding these motorcycles or not? But he was right back out there, and then. At that time, Landon was just, you know, he couldn't even ride a bicycle. He rode the motorcycle before the bicycle.
So probably not a great move.
That centrifugal force helped him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then we have a daughter, which through motocross, she sang, and she had a lot of opportunities to sing the national anthem at the Atlanta Supercross. She done that multiple times.
Wow.
U.S. Open in Vegas. Loretta Lynn's national championships, and a lot of other venues with that.
We hadn't had her sing at ours yet.
Well, she's lives in Jacksonville.
A slacker.
I know.
Is she ever going to come home for like a holiday?
Yeah,
or whatever?
And I've asked her about that. She's going to be home this weekend, but there's no race.
We got the motocross.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Get it together, guys.
We're slacking. We're slacking.
Now, you went... You decided that, so Dad, you're thinking while he's during this downtime of motorsports, you got racing in your blood. Have you raced?
Never raced anything competitive, just always younger, had hot rods and, you know, old beater motorcycles and piecing stuff together, just anything making some power and a loud noise. But still, you miss that part of, you know, with the motorsports, that adrenaline rush, even as a dad, you know, mechanic. And so I was missing it. And him, I could see that he was just in this weird place.
I was bored out of my mind. Because we, you know, we went from racing, we probably raced 35 times a year, 40 weekends a year.
Oh, wow.
To
yeah, I mean, we would
nothing.
Leave on Fridays and we were rolling back in late Sunday night, early in the mornings, you know.
Yeah, and the thing is, I didn't just like slowly quit riding. We went and did a race in Tennessee and practice day on Saturday. I wrecked and like caught my hip weird on this face of a jump and thought I dislocated my hip. So we're on the way to the hospital and I'm sitting in the back seat and I'm like, man, it ain't there for me no more. So left the hospital and that next Monday I posted my bikes for sale and that was it.
Wow.
I rode one time after that.
Seeing the bikes go for sale, that was...
Yeah, I think
he really wouldn't quit.
Yeah. I think I rode one time after that, like just waiting for my bike to sell. I did a FCA camp a couple years, like as an instructor, and I think I rode at the camp with the kids maybe one day and then never touched it.
Wow.
So yeah. how many bones did you break?
So I think when we quit, it was 25.
Which I'm sure you remember.
So wrist five times, arm four times, both shoulders, dislocated my right shoulder, both collarbones.
How do you dislocate your shoulder? Is it when you landed?
So when I did my shoulder, it was right off the start, and it was a real muddy race, and I didn't get that great of a start. We were probably sixth or so, like kind of in mid-pack. So I kind of checked up because, you know, I can't really see much. So I kind of waited back and was kind of letting them get going where I could, you know, get out from behind them to be able to see. And I don't know if the guy behind me didn't realize that I'd checked up or what, but, you know, I went to kind of turn and he just drilled me. And I didn't have time to, like, catch myself or anything. Well, I just fell straight to my shoulder. And as soon as I hit the ground, I'd never dislocated anything. As soon as I hit the ground, I said, yep, my shoulder's out. Yeah. And I just picked myself up and sat down on the side of the racetrack. And I was like, yeah, don't hurt that bad. But the thing about when you dislocate something, the longer that it's out, the more it starts to hurt. So, like, I'm usually pretty good with pain, but that one hurt pretty good.
I'd say, have that many broken bones, you got to be a good friend with pain, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he never, like, we'd always try to go without going in the ambulance if we had to go somewhere. This time he was like, hey, can you guys give me something? So I knew he was hurting pretty good.
Yeah, and this is one thing that, and I looking back now, I should have just rode with him in the van to the hospital. Because I get in the ambulance and the guy gives me morphine. And I'm like laying on the bed and he's standing like right here behind me. And I'm like, hey man, you got anything stronger than that?
Oh, gosh.
Really? He goes, yeah, I can't give you no more. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a long ride. Yeah, that one was pretty rough.
Oh, man.
But from that started a cycle with the, I don't think the shoulder ever healed. And then he's back on the bike and then has a hip injury.
So. Yeah.
Is that from landing?
Yeah, just the way I... Basically, like,
I've gone down
a straightaway and hit some bumps in the racetrack, and it just kind of caught the front tire weird and yanked the handlebars out of my hands. And when it tossed me, I went over the top of a jump, but my hip caught right at the top of it, and it basically, like, right in the top of my hip, and it just drilled me right in the leg there. And
so every track, every bump, every land is different. On every single time you hit it, right?
Because I mean, it you can come around one lap and it be completely different than what you had the lap before.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and at the time, his size, he was riding a 450 four-stroke. And we had the bike really tame, you know, because he's so small, but still that much power.
How about say, what was the top speed on that?
Oh, I mean, we've some places where you get 4/5 gear, you're running 70 mile an hour.
Yeah.
Easy. Yeah.
So how many times as dad did you draw up and go?
Oh man, the starts every time. You know, talking about this, it sounds like, but it was so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was, you know, part of our life.
So what? Give us that normal week with your week. When he's in motocross, give me how your week breaks down.
Well, with the motocross being so different from the cars, because it's more about his physical
conditioning. Yeah, it was more on me than it was the motorcycle.
I mean, we would go practice with a heart monitor on, trying to keep his heart rate at, 180?
It just depended on what you were trying to do that day. We would go some weekends, we would do 2 30-minute motos, that was our practice. And then some weekends it was doing 2-lap sprints where you're working on sprint speed. And it's just different aspects of technique.
And, you never really know that when you're watching these races, what's all behind.
Yeah, that it's all in the conditioning for, you know, the race. And that's where that sport has evolved. So much conditioning, nutrition, just the build, you know, stamina.
Yeah, and you wouldn't think that.
Oh, you wouldn't. That's kind of.
I mean, you imagine. Have you guys ridden that before? Have you ever ridden a dirt bike?
No.
Yeah, but not to that extent.
No.
Well, you imagine the heat today, like it was today. The qualifiers for the nationals are just, you know, really getting going. So as the summer months come, you know, the heat, that's when you're racing. with full gear.
Yeah, that gear will get you.
Wow.
They were riding today practicing in just the boots and helmets because the gear, and they weren't riding hard. They were just testing some of the stuff, but it's so hot. I mean, I was burning up watching them test it.
Now, on a normal motocross night, do you have, is it set the same kind of way? You have like heat racing and then you get into the show, or is that, how does that
so
work with motorsports?
Normally for us, like if you're doing like a Saturday night, like arena, that kind of arena cross type of deal, you may have heat races. I don't remember how Victory Sports does their arena cross stuff, but a typical like just amateur race, you practice on Saturday, wake up Sunday morning, you get one practice in the morning, and then you go straight to racing. And you'll race twice for every class that you're in. So we would race four times a day.
What different classes were you in?
So we raced 250A, which is pro, 450A, and then if they had open pro sport, we would ride that too. So we would race six times if they had a third class. Yeah.
Per day?
Yeah.
You did three races a weekend roughly?
Yeah.
If they offered those.
If they offered a third class. Sometimes they don't offer that third pro class. It's just depending on how they break the classes down.
Well, how many races would you say you've raced? If you're doing that many races, have you counted it up? Just like how many races you've raced?
Oh, no. I mean, you got to think.
I try to look at the
oh, for sure.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. We would camp, the whole family. We'd get to tracks on Friday night. You set up your camp. You get up Saturday. You practice all day. And then prepare for the race on Sunday.
So, I mean, you got to think, I raced from the time I was four to the time I was in my 20s, 20, 21.
Wow. Yeah,
so every weekend, and y'all raced every weekend?
We raced a lot.
Because we, you know, as a pro, he got a support ride from Yamaha through Suzuki Yamaha Dolphin. And at that point, you want to perform, and you have to market yourself.
Yeah. And, like, in my contract, I had to pick a series to run. So it'd be like, for the dirt car people, it'd be like you picking to run the Southern All-Star Series or Schaefer's or whatever. You have to run that whole series. So we picked a series, and I had to do every one of those races plus whatever races that pro races we wanted to go do. So whether it be 30 races a year, 40 races a year, however many races we had, that's what we...
Now, what was your travel like? How many states and stuff did
the
you go
furthest,
through?
We've been to Ponca City, Oklahoma, is the furthest in the Midwest, and then all the Southeast states.
You had to have a pretty flexible schedule to pull this off.
Yeah, I was lucky working for myself. You know, there was times we'd be on jobs late at night to get ready to go for the weekend. He'd go help. Yeah.
That's dedication.
Yeah, a lot of what you see on TV, the Outdoor Nationals and the Supercross, you can't just show up to one of those races and race that race. You have to.
Yeah, you have to, like this is what I was saying earlier, like when I earned my pro card, you know, you either have to do Loretta's National in one of the A classes, or you have to do what's called a Pro-Am, and they pay Pro-Am points. And once you get so many of those points, they give you your pro card. And then you can go do the Outdoor Nationals. To get a Supercross license, you have to do, they used to have the Road to Supercross, which was like an arena cross deal. You had to make so many mains and that kind of deal. But now they have an amateur day at some of the Supercross races. And I think if you do so many of those and get so many points, they give you your Supercross license. I don't know quite how that works since I haven't, you know, been in it.
And then you've got a Supercross license from there on out as long as you're...
Yeah, so as long as you renew it for the next year, you've still got
it. There's always that fee.
It was $350 when I had my outdoor card. It was $350 a year, and then it was $250 for every race that you wanted to actually race.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of riders from the Chattanooga area that are really accomplished it.
Now, when you made the transition from motocross, is that far enough off?
Yeah.
Okay. When you make transition from motocross over into cars, and you decide, was there a lot of talk beside, you know, hey, we want to go after the crate class or the 602 sportsman's class, or did you look at different ones and make a decision, this is the kind of car we're going to go look for? Or was you just kind of scrolling to see
man,
the best
it was,
deal?
It comes about there? So quick. I mean.
Yeah, which looking back, we probably should have planned a little better. But it was one of them things, we seen a car that was like pretty good deal, so we jumped on it, you know. And then we're like, well, what are we going to do about a motor?
Yeah, and we got the a rolling chassis and had a block.
And it was like, okay, well, we can either get a 602 or use the block that we've got and build a motor and run Sportsman. So we built a steelhead motor, and I think we ran four races in Sportsman with it. And then every track around here went to 602 only. So then it's like, well, what are we going to race now? So we just started racing Super. What we raced.
Now, what tracks did you run dirt track at?
As far as the motocross or the cars?
The cars. So far, where have you raced?
So we've raced Boyd's 411, Talladega, I-75, Fort Payne. I think that's it. Yeah.
And besides Boyd's, which one's your favorite?
411's fun. 411's a really fun racetrack. It's kind of like Boyd's in the fact that it gets real, real slick, but the way that you drive that racetrack is completely different than Boyd's, because it's got, like, the corners there, they got more bank in them, but they're narrower. So you're really arcing the car down into the bottom, and it's just a different style of driving.
That's interesting, because all the tracks have something different. And
oh, yeah.
Depending on how you like to drive and how your driving style is and all. And then when you come to Boyd's, how many races have you raced at Boyd so far?
So we've done all of the points races this year, and then we raced there probably three times last year. So,
yeah, we went through the transition of our car wouldn't stay together. I mean, we literally took this 02 GRT that we bought, and we, in the driveway, started working on this thing and got it going, and we take it to the track. We went to I-75 first race.
Yeah, went up there. I think we ran beginner and qualified like second or something.
Yeah,
and
I was just excited.
Get into the race and, you know, and us not knowing what we're doing, we're lost balling high weeds over here, and go out for the feature and the right front shock breaks. And I go off the racetrack, like in the weeds. My mom thinks I flipped, like it's just an ordeal. And we get the car back home and I'm like, well, what do we do now? Like, I don't know how to put lowers and uppers and shocks and stuff back together. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a motocross kid that wanted roll cage.
Quickly, you will learn.
Yeah.
And we've had some people helping us. Danny Turner's helped us, and Andy Pickelsheimer's been awesome. Booger Brooks.
Yeah, I pretty much, anybody that I can talk to, or, you know, whether, you know, y'all had Ronnie on here last week, I get takeoffs from him. I mean, anybody I can talk to, I'm always trying to pick up on something, whether it be something about the racetrack or something they did on the car that, like what we had back in the day, or anything that I think might help us somewhere at some racetrack. I try to remember that or jot it down or something.
Yes.
But to me, it's been interesting because this is our first year covering motocross and covering Boyd's it's addictive, say the least. But one thing we've noticed in the people we've had that we've talked to and seeing what we've seen, Boyd's it's kind of like a family atmosphere. You've got several drivers that they're competitive, but at the same time, they will help you out if you're in need because they want you to do the best you can because they won't be able to beat you
for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what's cool about it.
Yeah,
did you have that camaraderie in motocross?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've raced people on my motorcycle. You know, we had two or three motorcycles that, you know, that's what we would take racing. And I've let people borrow a motorcycle to race me. And, I mean, it's just – and the thing is any kind of racing, even if you're letting somebody borrow something or use this or use that, they've still got to be able to outrun you. Mm-hmm. Like that, it's just – you know,
wouldn't that be bad if you let somebody borrow your motorcycle and they beat you with your motorcycle?
It's probably happened at some point.
Yeah,
it's just racing's just a different kind of people. Yeah. It's just different than any other sport.
Well, I know for what you guys do at Boyd's with the dirt track racing, is you guys are always the first ones through the gate on race day. You guys take the car out, and then you're immediately walking the track. So is that like a how you guys kind of did that in motocross? Like, how did you come up with this ritual? Because you guys seem to do it every race.
That is the key. That's where we, the right, I mean, it's apples to oranges with the racing.
Right.
Motocross, you know, there's different layouts of the track, but it's still dirt. It's either going to be dry, muddy. But with the motorcycles, the setup changed very little. Reading these dirt tracks is...
It's a whole different deal.
That's what
deal.
We're trying to figure out.
Like, because with the motorcycle stuff, like we had people that, like, if they were fast, they were fast everywhere you went. It didn't matter if it was mud, sand, whatever. They were just fast. With this, it's like you can be outrunning the field by half track and go somewhere the next night and suck. It's just you're so hit or miss on setup and watching the racetrack. And it's reading a dirt track is so much different than reading a motocross track, because like I could do things with a motorcycle that I can't do in a car. I can't make the car turn. I can't make the car react a certain way with a motorcycle, especially with me being so small. I had to be pretty creative on what part of the racetrack I use and how I use the racetrack and make sure that I'm not beating myself up on the racetrack because everybody else is twice my size. You know, I was real small to be racing everybody that it was, you know.
Now get back to the motocross, because this is intriguing me. How did it feel when you signed a deal with Yamaha?
Oh, that was huge. You know, and it wasn't...
Break that down for just a minute. Like, when they approach you, do they approach you and say,
so the way that
watched you and this is what we want to do?
So how that deal worked out was Vicky Roberts at Suzuki Yamaha Dalton, she had helped us for years. She was more than good to us. You know, she really, really helped us. And when I started kind of wanting, I had this idea in the back of my head, hey, I want to do some pro nationals. You know, let's see what we can do about doing this deal. And we were on Yamahas at the time, and she kind of got us introduced with Kevin Spittler and Chris Bruno at Yamaha in Kennesaw. And we kind of met them and talked to them for a while. And she kind of got a deal for me and another kid, Ezra, that in this area we had to run a series. And it helped them with marketing, but it helped us with parts and that kind of deal. So we went down there, and I sat down with Chris and Kevin, and they kind of explained to me what the deal was and told me I just had to pick a series, and I had to have, you know, these logos on my bike and on my jersey and that kind of deal. And signed it, and it was more than great.
Oh, that's what I was gonna say. How did it feel, Dan?
It was pretty cool. I mean, we were at, you know, Yamaha there in Atlanta. You know, you see a lot of the pro riders you see on TV, their bikes there, and
it's a very cool experience.
Yeah.
Getting to walk into, I mean, this ginormous warehouse where they have jet ski dynos and like just this huge warehouse full of parts for everything Yamaha makes. And
a jet ski dyno.
Yeah, they had it was big crazy water tank that they could set a jet ski in, and like, I don't know how it worked, but it was cool.
Yeah, they could dyno the motors on the jet. They had like six of them in a row.
That's crazy.
But I was just amazed with the parts, man, because I was like, those parts.
Like a kid in the candy store.
What's the most expensive part on a motorcycle? So that's a motor. I mean, overall, if you had a crazy
suspension.
The suspension.
The suspension. Yeah. Dirt track cars going to be the same kind of
thing.
Oh,
for sure. Yeah.
And that's both the car and the motorcycle. That's where, you know,
Well, especially for the motocross stuff, because not having the right kind of suspension or having suspension done for you, I mean, that can get you hurt. Because especially me being so small, I mean, suspension stock is valved for 170, 180 pound rider. I'm 130 pounds on a good day. So, I mean, it was so stiff for me that could get me hurt because it's going to react a way that I'm not ready for or expecting or that kind of deal. But with the cars, it's so much about getting the car to work the way that it's supposed to. Because now, especially with these cars, we have so much travel in these race cars on the right front, left rear, that you need good shocks to make the traction and make the cars work. It's just, it's very different
to the motocross, but in the same way that they, you still have to have it.
Now on your motocross, who set your bike up? Did you do a lot of your maintenance yourself on it, on the bike? Like, is the bike more like about the person, where the dirt track's more about the team?
Yeah,
right?
The bike was more the comfortability for him and the suspension. We had to send the suspension, you know, send it off, and with him being so light, they would valve it and have it for him. For each, the 250 and the 450, you know, both bikes were different. Because of the weight of the bike and the power.
Yeah, and I'd say, like, with cars, it's like 70% car, 30% driver. And it's the complete opposite with motorcycles. Because, like, you could take Jonathan Davenport and put him in an O2 GRT that's junk, and he's not going to run that great. But you could take somebody that's a fairly decent driver and put them in a really, really good race car, and they're probably going to run pretty good. But you, with a motorcycle, you, unless you're just willing to go that fast, you're not going to go that fast. It's just, you know.
Yeah, we've seen that firsthand. We were at a big qualifier in Illinois, and we were there set up with, you know, we had three bikes out, and our
wheels and extra suspension, and like.
And a little minivan pulls up, and I remember seeing the kid pull this bike out of the minivan, and the plastic was.
Like they had, I think they had the back fender zip tied on and like duct tape.
Tire, and I'm like feeling sorry, you know. I'm like, man, Landon, you might want to see if this kid needs a tire or something. Well, the first moto gate drops, and I see this kid blister past Landon. I'm like, holy.
Yeah, he come past me going up a hill, hanging off the back of it, straight up past me, and I almost got mad when he passed me, because I'm like, there's no way that I can let this kid outrun me. Because, you know, we had new tires on, like, we had the best stuff you could get, and this kid walked away from me. I two laps later, I couldn't even see him. I come back to the pits, I told Dad, I said, we might as well just load up and go home. I was like, because I will not catch that kid. There's no way.
Which the kid was Jerry Robin, who now, he ended up taking a 86 CR 125, was it?
A 250.
250 to Loretta Lynn's.
And one. They had a class for a couple of years. It was just a two-stroke class, so you could ride anything from a 125 to a 500. And he took I think his dad had it, and it was like sitting in the back of their barn or something. And he took and put it back together because it was the only thing he had to race. Well, by God, he made it to Loretta's, and he won. On an 86 CR 250.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
But, yeah.
But that's the thing, though. Like, if you... if
zip tie and a ball tire.
He was just willing to go that fast. It didn't matter to him.
He wasn't.
Scared. He was just willing to go that fast.
Complete fearless.
Yeah, there were 42 bikes on the gate. Yeah. That gate dropped.
And he was gone.
I was just like... I mean, his gear getting a match.
Yeah, it was almost sad that he beat us that bad.
Glad he didn't give him a tire.
Right. it was bad.
He'd been back at the pits before us.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to run away to our first commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of Boyd Speedway and dirt track racing with our guests Scott and Landon, and we'll be back right after this. And thank you to all our great sponsors who make this show possible. And if you are interested in sponsoring the show, you can contact.
Hi, I'm Britt. Contact me at 205-617-5787 and email me at taself@crimson.ua.edu.
She went there.
Yeah, Auburn fan.
Yes, she went to Alabama and is an Auburn fan.
Has 2 degrees from Alabama, yet she's an Auburn fan.
Eagle, baby.
So when you tailgate, do you ever pull for Alabama and Auburn?
Tailgate, I'm a huge SEC fan.
We are too. We love SEC.
My siblings are Tennessee and Alabama fans. My sister-in-law, Alabama fan. My brother-in-law, Georgia fan. We kind of get together and argue a lot on Saturdays. But whoever game we're watching, I normally cheer for that team that we're with. But at the end of the day, if an SEC team plays outside of our conference, I don't care if it's Arkansas, Kentucky, I don't care who it is, I will go for that team. 100%.
Even Vanderbilt?
Do they have a football team?
Oh.
But she's dedicated. She went and ordered a UT shirt because she was going to Tennessee game.
I don't want to be disrespectful.
I will be.
I'm a Red Sox fan, and my siblings and I are talking about going to a Braves game next weekend.
Well, you could be a Red Sox fan and still go to the Braves.
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to go to the game without a Braves shirt on. I think it's disrespectful. Like, if you're going with a group of fans, you don't need to be sitting there with some random T-shirt on. Like, put the Braves shirt on. I think it's just rude.
If I invite you to an Auburn game, you're wearing an Auburn shirt.
You are. Now, I will ixnay on this one. On Iron Bowl, if I go to an Alabama game with my family, who are all Alabama fans, I'm not wearing an Alabama shirt.
I was going to ask you about that. Alabama.
Well, it's because Auburn's playing, so I'm wearing my Auburn stuff. But I have been kicked out of tailgates before for the Iron Bowl.
I could say you've been kicked out of a lot of places before.
I have been kicked out of Subway in Tuscaloosa. Thank you very much. Bunch of jokers. I was so angry about that day. Oh my God, I've never. Don't worry though. Went in, guy would not serve me. I had on a Columbia black jacket. Had on a, you could always see the feet, just this much at the top of my shirt. And he said, is that Auburn orange? And I couldn't even remember what I had on. So I look at my shirt and I'm like, yeah, it is. He's like, I'm not serving you. No. What did you just say to me? We're not on campus, by the way. We're like two blocks off campus. Yeah. And so he refused to serve me. So I'm now arguing with this guy. I'm about to come across the counter.
In the name of Jesus, and baptize him with my fist. And so, as I'm about to go off on this kid, the whole offensive line comes walking in. And I'm like, forget it. And I just went Chick-fil-A. Thank you, Chick-fil-A. It was your pleasure to serve me. I got my food. Nobody said anything about my shirt. And it was great.
The whole offensive line for
Alabama. I was in Tuscaloosa. I was like in my master's program. I had to go to class.
I'm trying to get food.
I'm starving. I was a teacher during the day.
Going to basketball practice.
I'm now in Tuscaloosa, 45 minutes away,
trying to get food before I go to class for 3 hours, and the stripper would give me a sandwich. So I went to Chick-fil-A
and was served with a smile. So Subway, not happy with you right now.
It's been about a decade. I'm still saucy.
Turned off.
Is your phone off?
My phone's off.
No, your mic.
My mic's off? My mic's not off.
Our mic's on.
That's in a wheel. You sound like it's in a wheel. Is it on here?
Do you need me to change mics?
No, it'd be good now.
I would be very, very clear that I'm still salty with Subway.
Yeah. And get that point across.
I'll get that point across. And that's why you should pay for every podcast here. Can we switch?
Just swap. Yeah, or just get that one on and stick it on the other side of your collar.
Have double trouble.
525.
Well, she is double trouble.
What are you talking about? Oh, that's what I can be double trouble, and then double D be double D, and you be B-Love.
There you go. And double D is not here tonight. We were going to go over the top 10 at some point, but we want to give a shout-out to our sponsors. Thank you so much to Golf Courts of Chattanooga. We get to ride in style at the track because of Golf Courts of Chattanooga makes it possible. If you need to rent a golf cart for the day of the race so you don't have to walk around, you can do that with Golf Courts Chattanooga. And they have free delivery and pickup.
Yeah, and Andrew is probably one of the nicest people you've ever met. Genuinely very kind, accommodating, easy to work with. And their golf carts are the nicest golf carts I've ever seen. I'm not talking about just like being brand new. I'm talking about they got switches and stuff and just, I mean, it's high tech stuff.
It's really, Got even cell phone chargers on them.
It's crazy what they got on those golf carts.
Backup cameras.
I got in there the other day and was like, I thought it was like a brand new car. I was like, what is that? Is this a blinker? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, the gray one's got blinker and backup camera.
I didn't know how to use it. It was so much technology. I was like, I'm used to my little, like, 20-year-old
a golf cart with backup camera?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, wow. Bro, it is cool. Nice. It's
and
like a brand new car.
And the back seats fold out to a pickup truck bed.
Yeah.
And that's, not a pickup truck, but a bed.
Yeah.
The phone number there is 706-891-8888.
That number again?
706-891-8888.
Call Andrew, and he will always hook you up.
And here's what was cool about it, too, is because when we called and talked to him and told him what we was going to use it for, the minute we said Boyd Speedway, he said Emerson Russell. I said, yeah, absolutely. No question. I just come on. I was like, how cool is that? Mm-hmm. It's great. And Boyd Speedway has made the ownership change and the management change that's going on there. It's incredible what they're building. So many people tell us it's a great atmosphere, family events. They've got something for everybody. And they're always adding to it. Larry Dismuth does an amazing job as the GM, and Emerson Russell, he's the next racer. So
yeah.
They all race. Do they not? Do they all? Emerson races. Does he still race?
Race.
No. Emerson doesn't race anymore. But Emerson grew up racing at Boyd's.
Yeah.
And raced there for decades.
Now, have y'all heard about the history of Boyd's, where it used to be asphalt and all that? Have y'all really dug into the history of it?
Yeah, I've got on YouTube a couple of times and seen some of the videos that were up talking about when it was built.
It's interesting. It's got some history there. That's what's cool. And a lot of the NASCAR drivers have actually raced there too.
There's no one that knows more about Boyd Speedway than our intern Jared.
Really?
We've got to have Jared on. Jared knows everything about everything. I don't even know when he goes to school personally. He's so smart. He knows everything about Roby, our announcer. He knows everything about all the statistics on every single driver. He knows just cuckoos of information, probably just a deep, deep well of knowledge. And I just don't know when the kid sleeps. He comes to me every day with new information. I've never been wowed by someone his age before, but every time I sit down in a meeting with this kid, I'm just like, good gracious.
Yeah. It's useful information. It's not like your stuff.
Yeah, it's no, it's
and mine's useless. His is useful.
He comes up with 101 useless information that you'll need
if
for
you take
your
BB
day.
Over here, Jared is like the polar opposite. It would be like a magnet, like they would repel. Yeah. He's so smart.
There was one state it's legal to hit your wife.
It's in Alabama.
Alabama.
One county in Alabama, it is legal on one Sunday a year to take your wife to the courthouse and beat her.
It's also illegal in the state of Alabama to wear red and orange together because of the rival between Alabama and Auburn. It's not an enforced law, but it is on the books. People don't enforce it. But also, you probably shouldn't wear those two colors together anyway because it looks terrible.
Well, there's also a law about you can't sell
prosthetic. Yeah, in Idaho, you cannot sell a prosthetic arm or leg. You cannot take it to a pawn shop for resale.
In Mississippi, you cannot eat ice cream sundaes on Sunday walking on the left side of the street.
Yeah, it's
there's
crazy
a certain
stuff.
Side of the street.
But yeah, maybe you used to know a lot of
But in Atlanta, stuff. You cannot tie a camel to a light pole.
That's right.
It's against the law.
It's against the law.
In Atlanta. Why would you have a camel in Atlana?
And you know that's
I
want to
know why that was created.
Times, right?
You too, somebody had done it.
Cigarette commercials.
Yeah, that's back when Camel Cigarettes was really big. And they were sponsoring NASCAR.
That's enough of the useless information.
Have you noticed, though, all the big companies that sponsor NASCAR don't last too long? There's a lot of them that went out.
Well, don't worry if he comes back to your local dirt track. Boost business.
That's it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. NASCAR kills you, but the dirt track, especially boys, there's a lot of interest, a lot of stuff stirring up. So we're talking motocross / dirt track.
Yeah.
You've done them both now.
Yeah.
Motocross was dangerous on you.
Yeah.
Dirt track and expensive on dad's.
Yeah.
On dad's insurance.
Insurance,
plan.
Yeah.
Did you meet your deductible every year?
Oh, man. Yeah, for sure.
Hold on. I want to know, what was mom's reaction?
Man, she was... I think I put more fear in him than she did. I think he's seen a lot of my fear for him getting hurt. And she was tougher on him sometimes than me as far as
racing.
Right.
Well, she's a mom of three. I mean, she's got to throw.
Well, mom was always like, she didn't like push me to do stuff, but like she never told me not to do it. Like if I wanted to jump something, she never said, "Hey, don't do that." Dad was sometimes like, I don't.
Your dad would say, "I don't want you to jump it." Mom would say, "Here's a cake." Has he ever done it?
We're chatting up.
Chad is, he went into the military. And he is a welder to trade now. He always, when he raced, he was always.
Really good people, Knievel.
Yeah, it always didn't pan out, though.
I didn't say... I don't think Knievel landed everything either. It's the... If Knievel Knievel is the ability to do that stupid thing, not to need it just to perform.
It's the ability.
Yeah.
See, I'm more of a Super Dave Osborne. That's me. I'm the if you've ever seen Super Dave Osborne, that would be me. I've about anything I've been on. But now, getting back to motor, you talked about something earlier about the Tunnel Hill track they used to run, and we took a buddy of mine down, and he was racing four-wheelers.
Right.
And he had a Mojave four-wheeler, and he had one of the jumps, and when he landed, his knee hit the kill switch, and he had these other four-wheelers jumping right over his head, and one of the back tires on one of the other one caught just the very top of his helmet. And I thought, there has to be injury after injury after injury at places like that.
I've landed on someone. Luckily, I've never been landed on.
Wow.
But there is nothing more scary than leaving the face of a jump and seeing someone that you're about to hit, because at that point,
there's nothing you do.
You're along for the ride, whether you like it or not. You're just in the air going, this is going to suck.
I've seen it happen. It happened to my cousin, and somebody hit the jump before him, crashed. He was the second one to come over, so the first one after the guy crashed, and he tried to bail to not land his bike on this guy. He was able to clip just his foot with the bike, and he went down. But the guy behind him was so close, there was no bailing out or anywhere to bail, and it landed straight on him. And my cousin is a little bit bigger than you. He is 6'4", but not that big of a guy. Shattered both hips and his femur. He's in a wheelchair for 3 years, so he's got a rod that goes from hip to hip and from hip to knee. Had to learn how to walk again. He's no longer allowed to straddle anything. He can't ride a four-wheeler, dirt bike, a bike, or anything. I mean, he's been on a bike his whole entire life, you know. Had to learn how to walk again. Had to limp for a very, very long time. And I think by the time he got married, it was probably 8 years later, was he able to walk. But he still has pains and aches and kind of sits sometimes because, you know, that residual pain. But, yeah, completely needed his career.
Now, when you was your riding motocross, did you think about, I'm going to have a Harley on the side and just cruise around?
No street bike.
He wouldn't let me have anything on two wheels that was on the road. Probably a smart decision.
Because you would go in between the cars.
What?
Yeah. Probably.
Yes. Now that he's dirt track,
can he get a street bike?
No.
He still has that in his blood. He wants to pay for it, you know, but
I tell my kids no. I don't see it.
I know how bad it sucks to hit my head on dirt. I definitely don't want to hit my head on pavement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not so much that I don't trust his ability to ride the motorcycle. It's just
other people.
It's other people.
On
the phone or.
Yeah. Well,
how many times have you about been here?
He's one of the knuckleheads that has a Harley that sometimes is carefree and.
I'm
so distracted.
Yeah. I cannot ride a dirt bike. I rode my Harley, and I get on a dirt bike, and it's a small one, and I know.
What is it, you don't like it, or you're just not capable of it?
Oh, I'm capable of it, but I'm used to running smooth roads, not bouncing and bumping and falling. No, I whiskey throttled right away, and I was like, and I've been riding Harleys 10 years at this point. I was like, I ain't doing it again, ever.
Feel the dirt moving under you. Track, I would do some type of work on the bike and want to run out, check something. It would always amaze me how they would jump the jumps and race that at that pace to feel that bike moving under you.
Yeah.
You know, how do you get into
it? Yeah. That's crazy.
So I pulled the dirt bike back in and I said, here, you can have it. I'll never touch it again. Don't worry about that.
I got a track.
I ain't having
it.
Yeah, I've actually thought about getting a bike out there on Friday.
I might do it on a. No, I won't even do it on a bicycle. I know, I won't even do it on a bicycle.
He wouldn't let you know how to pedal.
You're right.
That's terrible.
Well, we want to pedal.
No, yeah, that's right. Listen, I'm the same thing. Like, that was my escape. I used to go to Thanksgiving. They would fill up my four-wheeler, and I would disappear until they ran out of gas. And I guess that was time for dinner. And when I come home, I would miss all the family time. Because I would love to be on a bike or four-wheeler. Just like, that's like my peaceful place. We got a track that goes around the lake and everything. It's just so much calm and nice. It's put on your helmet, run your headphones in there, put on your boots, your gear, and just take off.
We need to tailgate at Brits one weekend, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, back to the motorcycles, like, it's not, it's a lot of the people, it's a lot of the underage texting and not paying attention to you, but I'm telling you, deer, they come quick.
Well, they're also, like,
Yeah, I locked up the other day, and the back end was, I was riding like this, and I was like, yeah, whoa. And, I mean, I know front brakes, 90%, I grabbed them both, but it still locked up on me, and I was fighting it back, and how in the world did I not hit that deer? And it was a big one, too. I don't know if it don't have horns yet, but it was a big one.
It's big enough to hurt.
It would be right outside the battlefield.
But I do have issues like Brent where my I think I gotta have a winch on the front of my forehead. That's all I gotta say.
Look, Belo falls out of hammocks.
It's
not graceful at all.
Well, at least I'm going like 65, 60. You guys saw me driving the Razor on Teacher Saturday a little bit.
Yeah,
That's light for me.
We don't talk about that.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
That didn't.
Getting back to your dirt track. Now, when you got your car, let's talk about this walking the track before the race. What is it? What are you looking? Because you, I'll get out in a minute. Are you more like his crew chief? Y'all talk and kind of communicate.
He's got to the level of that more than I have. There's so much with the bar angles and the geometry of the car. If I don't write it down, I don't retain it. He remembers anybody he talks to. He just soaks in anything that they're talking about as far as car setup.
And for me, it's really more about like. Because you got like, if you look at the last three races we've had at Boys, we've had three different racetracks. You know, last race, it was slick all the way up the racetrack with a little bit of moisture on the bottom. The week before, it was slick through the center, rough at the top, but had traction at the top and was fairly quick. But then the week before that, the entire racetrack was black. So, you kind of know what you're getting. Like, a typical night at Boys, you know it's going to be slick. You know it might be probably going to be through the middle or around the bottom. But when you show up and you see them putting a bunch of water on it, you're going, okay, well, now what do I need to do with the race car?
Yeah.
Am I changing a bar? Am I moving a four bar or changing stagger, changing wheel load? It's just a whole mess of things that you're trying to think about for 3 hours from now when you're looking at the race car. So I'm still learning. I mean, all I've been doing. This car's been a little over a year, so I'm still trying to learn what to do when the racetrack does what. I know what most of the changes on the car do. But
that's probably the biggest thing. Is learning that.
Yeah, but and then you got to think about, well, when do I do that? Do I do it when the track is slick, or do I do this for when the track's rough, or, you know, this and that? I mean, so many things you can change to get the same outcome, but which one is best for track state and where you're running on racetrack.
Now, have you reached out to some of the other drivers and asked them that questions, and what kind of answers do you get?
Oh, all the time. I'm all the time picking people's brains.
Do you ever get anybody just grins at you and says, figure it out, or they say, well, here's what I do?
Yeah, and it's
funny. Do you do opposite of that?
Well, you'll have people give you, like, that. I've never had anybody, like, just straight up, like, not say anything, but you can almost tell when somebody's, like, yeah, you could do that, but they're not really, like, they're not being mean or anything, but, you know, I get it.
It's competition.
Yeah, we needed to have him in here last week. But I think Robbie would have been really good.
Definitely.
Yeah,
Robbie's super good guy. Yeah. Dude, he's so nice. Dude, he helps.
He just is. Don't take peanuts.
No.
Around.
Okay. Well,
when you go to the track.
Is that a superstition?
Oh yeah. They're over there. We left them here. He was. Yeah. He's
okay.
Dead.
Don't eat peanuts on racetrack or wear green.
That's where I'm going. What do you have now, in motocross? Did you have something superstitious you did or didn't do before every race?
The only superstition I had was if I got a brand new helmet, I dropped it before I raced in it.
Yeah, that was
like it had to be scratched and hit the ground before my head goes in it. Because every time that I got a new helmet and didn't do it, it somehow ended up on the ground with me in it.
Oh.
So,
paid for a custom helmet paint job. And this helmet, it was so killer. I didn't even remember why. He takes it.
Guy literally opened it up, looked at it, and dropped it.
I'm like, why? chip in the DCLI.
It's out of the way now. It's already hit the ground. I'm good. It didn't work.
And with those helmets, I mean, one good lick, it's not used again.
That's what I was thinking, because after riding the motorcycle, they tell you if it hits the ground ever, chunk it.
He's had pretty expensive helmets that they done, they served a purpose.
You know, they done their job, but you're also creamed when you just take
I can take you to my place of employment and show you all kind of helmets that are all kind of mangled that did help, but didn't help. I can show you all kind.
Yeah, the helmet protected the head, but the other body didn't fare too well, right?
Yeah.
So now what about dirt track? What's your superstition in dirt track? Do you have any yet?
No, I don't have any yet. I haven't found anything that seems to be...
Do you guys pay for your parking, like get the same one every time, or y'all have it for like the whole season, or y'all?
We just get there to get that one.
So that might be your superstition, because I've never seen y'all park anywhere else.
Yeah,
you guys are pretty. You guys are pretty OCD about your rituals. That's, like
where,
you come
where
in,
you park.
Park
the first one.
First one.
Like you know where the scout house is at?
Yeah.
As soon as you come,
you come down the hill, that very first concrete pad.
Right there on the corner.
Okay.
We run into his car every week.
Every time.
Okay. And see, and it's, but it's not even for me, though. When my mom comes, she can just walk way back in the back there. So just
well,
for
she'll
us.
Holler at. We'll get her
right there to the top.
Save some steps. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That was my
next. Where I'm going to next. Tell me about the family atmosphere with the dirt track.
She
Come
made
on.
One of me grooving a tire, and it's got like 440,000 views or something crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Get out there and like give a little shimmy before you go on that tire. You know, shimmy, shimmy, and crank it up. I'll help you out. It's fine.
Okay.
Cool.
Look forward next week. Lane is coming out with a dancing TikTok
okay.
video.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Interesting.
We do have female followers on the podcast that would like to say something of that nature.
Most of them are the daughters of the drivers.
Yeah.
So if you did. 20s and 30s, the age of these young women who their dads are driving.
Yeah.
You should go around the pit and just start looking for dates. Phoebe's looking for dates.
I'll drop that down like, in my race car notebook. Like, at the top, like,
I'm looking for
dates.
I'm looking for step.
Wait, here's what we can do. We can
take him around the track in the golf cart and kind of just
show him off.
Yeah. Because you're up front. Nobody really gets to see you.
We can do that next time. Yeah. Next Friday night.
We will.
Dad's trying to get you married
sign,
off.
Yeah. Can we get a sign made up? As
Bachelor
like, win a
number
date
one.
Yeah. Win a date with Landon.
We'll raffle and a drawing and win a date with Landon. Yeah.
This,
with
I mean.
I like it.
Yeah.
Dad's sure trying to get him married off out of the house.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Britt.
I got it. So we're going to have a dating show in the pit.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Ladies.
We could do... Hey, let's do that as a podcast show.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Have like a wall between Bachelor number
yes,
one.
Yes.
All
Bachelor right. at number one.
Yeah.
And then you can ask him questions. Hey, we could make this thing big.
Yeah. We could make it. Well, you
it's like a redneck
me.
Bachelor.
Yeah.
Except I'm not rich.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though. You can't... I want one of the girls to be the driver's choice because... You know she already knows the lifestyle, so she's not gonna think you're ignoring her when she starts to drink. She's probably already there, so she'll watch you do answers like that. And number three, like, I don't know what she's doing.
I'm not
I'm
saying,
looking out for
look,
you.
It's raw valid.
I'm looking out for you.
It crossed my mind.
Yeah, and she knows the kind of food you're gonna serve on a Friday night.
Well, that's
it's
all valid
concessions.
All valid.
I'm just trying to help you out here. Ladies,
let's
get on this. It's something we need to do
for
years. A dirt track driver, and you're from ages of 22 to 30. Please give
hold
us
hold
a
on,
call.
Wait a minute. What's the age group? What's age?
22 to 30.
Well,
I know
fair.
How old he is.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
And I want the 30 up.
Yeah, maybe you'd like to go
32 to 40.
There you go. Now you have. There you go. What
I got
you
all
need?
My bases covered.
That's it.
That's right.
See. Now, next, now let's get to know now that leads right into these next set of questions.
Yes, here we go.
Tell us who Landon is when he's not racing.
Oh, wow. If
girls,
I'm...
Girls, it, are, there, are the girls watching?
Girls,
all
the girls watching. Okay. Dad, right. Send this to you.
If I'm not racing, I'm either working on race car, learning about race cars, or watching racing. But if I'm not doing anything with a race car, I'm probably just hanging out with my nephews or my nieces.
He's family oriented, ladies. That's all I hear.
That's what I heard.
Does ramen noodles count?
No.
Can you use a grill though, most guys?
I mean, yeah.
Can you,
yeah.
Grill master? See?
I don't know about.
I'm rebranding for you. I'm rebranding.
Because inmates can make ramen noodles, so no, it does not count. Yeah. No, yeah. You have you, even the.
Yeah,
no.
But if you've seen what they call ramen noodles, they make some pretty
I've seen
extravagant ramen noodles.
I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand.
Are yours gourmet or yours just like bland? Okay.
They're just
not at the track. Are you bringing your grill? Does he bring a grill with you when you come Friday night? So y'all are just zoned in.
Yeah. With him eating up the track, there's a story behind that.
Let's hear this.
Through the years of racing, one of the biggest things that we try to get him to eat. And I'll be like, I got you a sandwich. Something thick. Your mom got you something. He wouldn't eat. And we would argue over that more than anything.
Mm-hmm. So now, is it a pre-race? You got jitters? Or
well, like with the cars, like it's not. Like, it's nowhere near as bad. Like, I'll eat at the racetrack with the cars, but...
I would have a snack in the car. That's me.
Well, that... I've never thought about that, but I could put, like, a drink holder in, like a smoothie or,
I don't know if you want that with the dirt that's flying around.
Well, I'll put a lid on it.
Yeah, you can put a lid on it.
And a straw?
I
mean, my helmet's got a thing with a straw.
If the straw went all the way into your... Okay, yeah. But if that straw stopped at any point in time in the vehicle...
Get you a Camelback.
A little bit.
One of those Camelbacks.
Yeah.
Put it through and... Yep, straight in.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but with the motorcycle stuff, like, I just...
Because you're just vibrating so much.
I'm sure. Nerves and... Yeah, jittery.
It was always... I mean, he would try to, start hydrating on Wednesday, Thursday for that weekend race. And I'm just trying to eat something, because... You start at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you're racing two motos for each class. And it drains me. I know it was draining him.
Man, I guarantee it was.
You ever have a banana or an apple or something?
Yeah, I mean, I would eat stuff like that, but I would never eat like a big meal.
No, I get
so
it.
Yeah. I don't know if it was just like I never really felt hungry. I don't know if it was like a nerves thing or like, but I didn't really eat a whole lot at the racetrack.
On a full day competition though, I would eat just apples and oranges and bananas, like one between each competition.
Yeah.
Other than that, nothing.
I was so frustrated with him one time. I said, if you don't eat this sandwich, we're loading everything up and we're leaving. And he's like, load it up.
He said, well, leave then.
I said, well...
Don't leave me halfway. Half a sandwich.
Just a bite.
Yeah, I think I took like one bite of it and threw it away.
Do you watch sports? Into sports? Football?
Not really. I can watch some basketball. I can watch like half of a football game. But like,
it's racing,
my
right?
Attention span is like so hit or miss. Like, it's not racing. I can't even watch NASCAR. Like, the race is too long. I'm not going to sit there for 3 hours and watch people turn left or
I love
10
it.
Laps.
Yeah. I love it. I watch the first 10 laps and
the last 10 laps.
Yeah, I
sleep in between or go hit golf balls or something. Yeah.
Now, who?
I mean, if you think about it, they run around for 250 laps, 300 laps to race for 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, just make the next 10 laps. 11 laps.
That's it. Now, who's your favorite driver?
Probably Jonathan Davenport.
Like I said earlier, like when I really
started watching it, it was when him and Romney were together, and they pretty much won every race they went to. And
is there anybody local that you've buddied up with as far as liking, caring about watching them race, or even in your division, or your class, or?
I try to watch Ronnie Johnson anytime I can. That's one of those guys who's raced so much and been to so many different racetracks and so many different cars. Like, he just,
you can really learn a lot by watching that guy go around the racetrack. Like, I mean, like, those are the boys.
And that makes sense that, you know, when the track slip like that, it puts it back in the driver. The driver's got to make the car work, the car's got to work, but when the track's hammering down and fast, everybody's fast because they're gripping the racetrack. So, it's just...
Yeah, he said he likes it slip back. We were talking earlier about Ronnie at lunch and just the level of compassion and, like, detail that he has. Somebody and use like my first time. You're talking about like even the smallest little details, like he touches it, he pays attention, he's like, you know, it's not all about racing, he cares genuinely about people. And I was just surprised. I was like, huh, that kind of caught me when he said my last name. I was like, you know, Britt's just good enough for me. Because I think I've said my name once.
Yeah.
And so it was just really cool that he cared that much to get those details
he's
right.
Like, even, like, with the race car stuff, he's very meticulous. Like, we went and got a wheel from him, a big truck from him, and he was like, yeah, I'll sell it to you, but I'll fix that before I sell it to you. I'm like, man, that's better than any wheel I own. Like, you don't have to fix it.
I'd love to do,
but
like,
that's just, you know, he's so meticulous.
I'd love to do a podcast at his shop, because, you know, he's got a ton of his dad stuff there and, like, stuff. I mean, that's, like, 60 years worth of racing in there. I'd love to just, like, sneak a peek in his shop. But that's our thing was, like, I just want to meet him. And I was like, oh, my gosh, sorry, how can you speak to him? Yeah, he's a legend, though.
And there was so many racers he's helped just, you know, bring through the sport. And it was funny because you have Morris and you had
Robbie
and Bobby and you've had, I think that, well, those two were here and they were talking about how he is instrumental in Bobby and Robbie their career and then Morris, you know, worked with him quite a bit and rode with him and they couldn't say enough good about him and it's cool to see someone like that loves the sport so much that they want to send that passion down to the next guys and they invest in somebody else and pull it up and keep the sport alive. And it's really cool deal. We got just a few minutes left. If you want to go ahead and pull that up, we're going to hit our last commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk Boyd Speedway, and we're going to wrap the show up. So we'll be back right after this.
It would go to limp mode, and I had to stop. He said if I ran under 3,000 RPMs, I was fine. But it being a new car, it wasn't ready for it. So it was hilarious, though.
I thought he was like hypoglycemic and had to pull over the front snake. I was like, what is this joker doing? It was the funniest thing.
Exactly. It was the first time that car had ever been on the track.
I've never seen anything that nice out there.
He had
a screen. You could see the screen on it, like a big flat screen in there on it. We thought that he was watching television.
He rode a Crown Vic last time. And somebody wrecked him and destroyed it. So he got this car and decided he was going to run it in. And it is a 2010 white, pearl white Infiniti.
It's a really nice car. Most people in the audience.
Pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. We did. We were over there making jokes about why he was pulling off. We were cracking ourselves up.
Britt, you want to go over the results one more time? I had audio issue.
Well, bless you.
Go right ahead and read there. I go over the results one more time.
All right. Starting at the bottom, working our way back up to the top. From the last Friday night race, May 21st, Joe Lee Memorial. Enduro winner is Bill Hogan, followed by Braxton Coughlin and Mike Hell. Beginner winner is Kelby Norwood, followed by Cameron Flowers and Brennan Shirley. Pony winner is Michael Courtney, Gracie Dugan's dad, Dan. That's his new name, Gracie Diggins' dad. And Josh McKee is number three. Crate 604 winner, Logan Palmer, followed by Jesse Lowe and Josh Henry. Front wheel drive winner, Josh Childers, followed by Billy Bailey and Lee Hutchinson.
I was about to say, where was Cody at, but he finished fourth. I'm not used to you finishing that far down, Cody.
He brought that new car out.
Did Cody drive a new car?
Yeah, he brought a new car out, and he said he thinks it's going to do really good, and then...
He normally Cody dominates.
He said he won't be back in that car.
Yeah, I like, Cody, come on, guy. You know better. And then Topless Outlaw, winner is Randy Weaver, followed by Ronnie Johnson and Booger Brooks. And Sportsman 602, winner is Sawyer Tinker, followed by Cass Fowler and Jeremy Broom. Cade Brookshire finished fourth now. Great job, Cade.
Buddy. You turned the ones that are off even up, so I don't know what they are now. I knew what they were before.
Do you think we're only talking? No, we're on a vodcast. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a camera right in front of you.
You didn't know?
I see you the whole time.
How did you not?
You didn't see the camera all the time. That's why I said there's assigned seating so that when you show up on the video, your name's underneath you.
Okay.
Like, he pre-typed on there, like, Scott.
I got you.
Now you know. Now you're not nervous.
You didn't know.
Now that you've done the entire thing.
Hold on. A while ago, you don't remember at the very beginning when I leaned in and they made fun of me? Because I was leaning into the camera. They made fun that I was leaning into the mic, but I was actually leaning
this
into the camera.
Right here.
Yes, sir. You're on camera.
Yeah, I thought you were leaning into the microphone.
Oh, no, sir. I was leaning into these cameras right here.
This is why I do the race car setup. Yeah.
Attention to detail. If that was a snake, it would have bit you.
Really?
Who's?
It is. Is your mic on, Scott?
Yeah, it's on.
Yeah?
The on button?
Yeah, it's on.
Number is it? Because you need to crank him up. He sounds like he's in the well.
Yeah.
It's right there. Read the numbers on the screen.
553.70.
Yeah,
553. He's turned up as loud as it is.
So that's what it was. It was kind of in a well. They can hear you, but it's like in a well. All right. So this Friday we're off at Boyd's.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday starts a motocross.
Mm-hmm.
And what time you want to run down the schedule on the motocross?
I absolutely do. Pull it up. All right, the motocross event for this weekend. Everybody got your pens and papers out? If not, don't worry. Go to Boyd's Speedway. It's posted on there on a post. But motocross event Friday night. We're gonna open the gates at 3:30. Open the grandstands at 5. Practice will be from 5 to 9 p.m. Okay? For Saturday, we're going to open the pit gates at 9 a.m. And we will open the grandstands for spectators at 10 a.m. We will have registration on Saturday from... I don't know. How's the pit gate opening at 9? But we're not doing registration at 8. Listen... Registration from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then we'll practice from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday, and all racing will begin at 3 p.m. So Friday night is practice, Saturday morning is practice and registration, racing begins at 3 p.m. on Saturday. For all the classes that are racing, please check out Boyd Speedway. I'm not going to list all 32 right now. I'm so, so sorry. You can check it out on there. You are going to be able to camp. So if you want to come in on Friday night, practice is free Friday for spectators. If you want to camp, it's $5 per person to camp for Friday night. We will announce whether we're letting camping be allowed for Saturday night tomorrow there in a post. But you can check out all prices and breakdowns for registration per class on Boyd Speedway Facebook. If you have any questions, feel free to message us. I would be happy to answer them or direct you to the post where it's already answered.
All right, give us your sponsors now, Britt.
All right, hitting it hard. Boyd Speedway would like to thank Bad Ace Cycles. If you do drive a Harley or a street bike, please go see Mr. Todd and Miss Diana over there, and they will be happy to help you with everything you need, including helmets and all new riding gear. Rock Auto, Hutton and Smith Brewery, SNS Auto, Amp Energy, Shot Rec Photography, Slow Force Wall, Mighty Auto Parts, Hoosier Tires, Nick and Norm's Restaurants, located at the Choo Choo, La Quinta Inn, Gate 11 Distillery, also located at the Choo Choo in downtown Chattanooga, Comedy Cup, located at the Choo Choo in downtown Chattanooga, Brown Brothers Construction, which has been a big part of building the motocross track. Thank you, Brown dump truckloads of dirt, which is how much I feel like they've actually brought. So thank you. That was the Trip and Britt Brown. Thank you. Warren and Griffin. Warren and Griffin goes above and beyond. They're going to be doing our 4th of July show for us as well with fireworks. So stay tuned for that. Coca-Cola, Base Race Fuel, which is the only fuel we use at Boyd Speedway. Dayton Powertrain, which is, pay attention, because we're giving out two big engines of that, and sponsoring this motocross event, Southern Honda Power Sports. Thank you.
All right. In the running for that new motor?
I think we're four.
No wins. I wish we
could. You can win one or two, and you could possibly get it.
Be nice.
That's what Double D needs to do, but he doesn't have a car to race to win the motor because he needs the motor. It's a catch 22.
What?
We got a lot of adjustment to do on that stuff there. We're going to wrap up the show. Before we go, this is the time of the show where we give shout outs or closing comments. Scott, you want to go first?
Different but fun. We're watching y'all show and everything y'all do.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Scott.
No way.
Do you know the Proctors?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where my car's at.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I know Michael Proctor. He fished in our tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Paul.
Yeah. Paul was the sponsor of our show for the longest of Proctor Contractors. Yeah. They're good guys, yeah.
Paul rode up our driveway on his golf cart. He said, y'all bring that car down here and can you put it in the shop?
Yeah, the first, our Bass Club weigh-in trailer was there in their shop in the back. Me and Michael built it from scratch. It's the best pulling trailer ever. Good people, good people.
Good Yamaha Dalton, Alan and everyone at Extreme Flooring. We ain't got many sponsors, but the ones that we do have are very huge help for us.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can win some races this year.
That is awesome. Britt, shout outs.
Up is Vicky. This is Vicky Roberts. She is at Wayne River, right? That she runs with. She allowed us to come out and kind of learn a little bit about motocross and talk to people there, and just went around and kind of met people, and everybody was like, you know, why are you here? Kind of told them, and I was like, Landon Ginger said we should come out, and oh my God, I love Landon. So he doesn't have any people that disliked you as a motocross coach. There you go. It's a good thing. So just shout out to Miss Vicky for just being a huge help. And willing to mentor us throughout the motocross coming up this weekend. And then, of course, just family and friends. It's been a tough week, so just thank you for all your prayers and being there for us through everything that's going on.
BB?
We had 26 at Man Church at the Bible study last night. We'd still like to have each and every man walking. Doesn't matter if you're from middle school up, we'd like to have you. Shiloh Baptist Church at 6:30 on Monday. That's really all. BW Sign Masters, thanks again for what all you have done for us.
We represent Cleveland businesses.
Cleveland, Tennessee. There's also one in Athens, but I do not have the phone number to that one. The one in Cleveland is 423-790-7797. Get with Christina at BW Sign Masters.
And a big shout out to JR Shot Rod Photography. As you can see, the artwork on the wall is brought to you by Shot Rod Photography, as well as our equipment that we have at the racetrack. And now JR is a driver
as well in the 602 class. Did he race?
He did race. He completed every lap. He done really good.
He made it this week.
Yeah. So that's good. He's getting better then.
He is.
He learned the valuable lesson that the first trip wall steps up.
Yeah. And it beat him, didn't it?
He just bought them new wheels, too.
Oh, yeah.
The back right was shot. They are completely destroyed. We have it somewhere. Double D's got it.
Yeah.
Or is it your truck still?
That is not my truck, no.
Or Double D must have it.
He must, because
it must be.
stole my truck, didn't we? Maybe it is. I don't know. I thought we got it out.
He said he wanted the tire back, but the tire was in good shape, I guess. So.
He did, yeah. I don't know where it's at. Maybe that's why he called me. I don't know. It's been a wild week. But we appreciate you watching. We appreciate you tuning in. Don't forget, this Friday is practice for motocross. Motocross on Saturday at Boyd's. All the information will be on their page. We'll be dirt track racing next Friday. And the win a date with Landon will start next Friday is when we start it.
Thank you, Landon, for bringing all the TikTok.
Yes.
Look forward to those. The win a date with Landon. Miss Rhonda is so excited about it. Yep. She's already got Chad out the door. Landon's next.
There you go. So.
We've never had a dating show before. This would be so
well, we kind of did at least when it'd be low, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Nobody bought in.
Nobody did.
How many girls did you have on there, though?
We had tried to give D-Swain a date, and
it worked. I mean, he's got a girlfriend now, so
yeah,
it worked.
People spent $5 to win a date with him, and we only had
one person.
$2.
one person put 50 on it.
That's right.
Yeah.
They never got to go on a date either.
No. We never got 50.
Mars hasn't tuned in a while either.
Well, maybe that's why. Who knows?
Let us down. Used to be a big
but thank you to all our sponsors that make it possible. And we appreciate you watching. We appreciate you tuning in. Until next time, take care and may God reach you. Bless you.
See ya.
Have a great one. Thanks, guys.
Speedway Podcast, the fastest podcast in North Georgia, where we feature drivers, crew chiefs, racing food, behind-the-scenes footage, and much more. Stay plugged in to Boyd's each week to the Boyd's Speedway Podcast, brought to you by Scenic City Motorsports. Green, green, green. Time to go racing the Boyd's Speedway Podcast.